Greetings in the name of Christ again this evening. What a wonderful blessing this is to sit in heavenly places and to just be in the presence of the Holy One. I was thinking as we were singing, how would that be to just be before Him and just pour out our hearts in song and praise to Him? Before we get into the message this evening, I would like to just, if you would stand with me and pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to You this evening. We thank You so much that You are our God. You are our own God. You have a very deep interest in the lives of every pastor that's here this evening. You love the people that we are to pastor and to bring to You, oh God. I pray, oh God in heaven, that You would help us and lead us to green pastures, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that You would show us tonight Your ways and help us, Lord, to understand Your heart. God in heaven, we thank You so much for how that You loved us and how that You gave Your Son, Heavenly Father, so that we could be saved and redeemed and set free, and that we can live free from sin, and that we can have holy lives and pure lives in a world of sin, in a world of evil, where the forces of evil are against us. But God in heaven, You stand there. And Lord Jesus, we thank You tonight that You are God. Thank You that You are the one that has overcome the evil one. You threw him out of heaven, and we thank You, Lord Jesus. But woe to us, Lord. Now deliver us and keep us from evil. And Lord, I just pray tonight for every pastor, every one of us that's here, every shepherd, Lord, of Your flock. I pray, O God, that You would help us tonight to see our calling. Help us, Lord, to see what You have called us to be and to do. And Lord Jesus, we pray that You would tonight remove the powers of darkness, the demons, the devils, in Jesus' name, and give us peace and rest here. We pray, O God in heaven, give us freedom in the Spirit of God to understand, to hear, to not be hindered by forces that are against You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for these men. Thank You for these brothers. O God in heaven, I pray for them. I pray, Lord, that what is on our heart, if there's burdens on our heart tonight, I pray that You would come and take our burdens. And God, I pray that You would be our burden carrier, be our burden lifter. And Lord Jesus, can we give You this flock that You have entrusted to us to oversee this evening? Help us, O Lord. We bless You and we thank You. Now I pray for Your anointing upon the small one, Lord Jesus. Take coals from the altar, Lord Jesus, and paralyze my lips that they would not speak anything except what You want. God, I'm committed to You. I'm on the altar for You. And Lord Jesus, just speak to us and help us tonight. Help us, Lord, to be encouraged as we leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Again, a greeting in Christ's name, the blessed lover of our soul. I would like to preach a message this evening to you that has been a burden on my heart that God has laid there some years ago and just recently again just revived in my own heart. Soul rest in leadership. Maybe we should say soul rest in as overseers. But I sometimes wonder if we understand soul rest. Are we living in the rest that Jesus provides for us? I can't forget a pleading voice on the phone one day some time ago. And this voice, this is what this voice said to me. Can you help me find rest for my soul? I didn't know this person. Never heard of this person. But can Jesus give us soul rest? Is there rest for the soul of men? You know, we have a lot of burdens. We carry burdens. We carry the burdens of God. And sometimes God lays those burdens on us that takes us to our knees, and it takes us into those behind the tree, out in the barn, out in the woods, all by ourselves, where we cry our heart out to God. Because the burdens of our people are so heavy that we need to pour them out to someone. God gives us burdens. But in the midst of our burdens, are we able, as pastors, as shepherds, as overseers, as leaders in the flock of Jesus Christ, are we able to somehow find soul rest in those moments? I don't know the hearts of you here. I don't know the churches, the congregations that you represent. I know the one that I am here representing on planet Earth while I'm here. And sometimes I get burdens, and I get heavy burdens. But is there soul rest for the servant of God? I believe Jesus wants us to rest. I want to share with you what God has shown me. You know, we live in a very restless world. America is known to be the country that doesn't sleep. Almost any time of the night, you can get out on the road and there's someone else out there. We don't sleep. You know, man was created to rest. God created man to rest. God wanted man to rest. In heaven there is sweet rest, isn't it? Aren't we looking forward to that day of sweet rest? You know, in the Garden of Eden, that rest was lost. Man lost something that man has been on a journey to try to find, is rest. The rest that was lost in the Garden of Eden has been a struggle for man to find, and that man has been on a journey. But we are designed to have rest in our soul. And I'd like to look at that this evening. Leaders are plagued with unrest. Many times we feel stressed. There's a lot of stress. There's times when I will admit to you, there's times that I feel guilty that I didn't go visit that person. I feel guilty because I need to do this. And you know, Jesus doesn't want that. He wants us to find rest as we lead the people, as we help our people. We feel fearful at times. What is going to happen to this congregation? Why? What if we go down this road? Where is this going to end up at? I don't know your heart this evening, but I'm under no illusion that everyone in here is in the deep rest about what they are called of God to do. And that we are resting as we look at the flock that God has entrusted to us. But Jesus wants us to rest in our soul. How can we do that? Sometimes we find ourselves accused. Can we rest in the midst of accusation? I want to show you some things tonight that God has really deeply worked in my heart. You know, I believe people are tired and they don't know why. The human soul is naturally restless and not satisfied and embarks on a journey to find rest. I remember one time coming home from work, and there was something that was really on my heart that was troubling to me. There was a lot of duress and a lot of struggles and a lot of stress going on. And I remember sitting down and opening my Bible to Psalms 23, and it said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." You know, my pastures didn't look too green that moment. And then this is what caught my attention. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." I didn't forget that. I remember just getting down and crying out to God and saying, "God, all I want right now is still waters. Just give me still waters." My waters have been, there's been turmoil in my journey. I want still waters. Just still waters. You know, many go through life and never find soul rest, that inner rest. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Did you ever think about it? Many things in heaven have a parallel here on earth for the saint. There's singing in heaven, there's singing on earth. There's worship in heaven, there's worship on earth. There's family there. The bridegroom and the bride depicted as a family in heaven. There's rest in heaven. Sunday night, I walked past a casket of a dear saint that worked in the ministry many, many years, maybe 50-some years. A dear brother that I appreciated so much. And you know what? When I saw him, I thought about it. You're resting. You're resting. But there can be rest here. Let's look at this scripture, Matthew 11. You probably all preached out of this. I want to show you some things here that God has shown me. In Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want to point something out to you here this evening. Sometimes this is used in a setting of an evangelistic service, but I think there's something deeper. You know, is this speaking about people that are burdened with sin? You know, I believe he is speaking about an even deeper problem that plagues the human soul. Notice what it says. It doesn't say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you peace." Why doesn't it say that? It says, "I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give my people rest." There's a deeper meaning here. There's a lot of people that have peace, but they don't rest. There are servants of God that just cannot rest. Maybe you are here this evening and today, and I was really wondering. I heard someone say, "We have an issue back in our church." You know, those things can keep us from resting. We think about our congregation. Tonight, think about your congregation, the one that God has entrusted to you to oversee. Are you at rest about that congregation, about your congregation? Jesus said, "If you labor and you're heavy laden, I will give you rest." Peace is a position that we have with God. But rest is something different. "I will give you rest." Well, how can we get this rest? How can I rest? Here it says, if you labor, if you feel fatigued, if you're heavy laden, you're loaded up just like a donkey. That's what that word means. If you're loaded up like a donkey, burdens are heavy. I think I'm here this week, and this is so refreshing. This is so wonderful. But then I think about where I'm going after here, after this. And you know, there's something heavy. If that is, let me just ask you, brothers, tonight, there is a way, even in the burdens that we carry at times, to have rest in our soul. Jesus wants us to rest. And I'm going to show you how this evening. How to rest. How to rest. I want to just expound on verse 28 just briefly here. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then it says in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest." Notice that the finding of rest comes from the yoking. We want to look at this. Let me explain to you what I can understand a little bit of a yoke. When I was a boy, we used to farm with horses. And I remember one time where we had, and I know that when we think of a yoke, we think of those yokes where there's one cow or one horse is in the one side of this wooden yoke that has like a U-shape, and on the other side is another horse, and these two, or there's two cows, and that's how they work. They work together. I think that is what the Bible is depicting tonight. Depicting a yoke. We are together. There are two. But I remember another scene as I was growing up. a yoke that we would call a yoke, where we would, I think in our term, we would call it like a jockey stick, where we would have a horse. And we had a horse that was just a young horse, had a lot of energy. And we had the trusted horse. And we would put two trusted horses there. And then we would put this jockey stick on there and tie this other young horse. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We would tie that horse to that trusted, steady horse. And I remember, see, this other horse was not trusted in guidance. We couldn't trust it to guide it. And so it needed to learn to walk with another horse. It was yoked with a trusted one. This is how this horse learned how to walk and how to work. Sometimes he wanted to go faster, sometimes not at all. I remember a time when he was off to the side and would get hobbled up how he was hitched up. And I remember seeing this horse puffing, and sweat was just dripping off of that horse. It was under a lot of duress. And the heart was pounding as we stopped, and there was foam on that horse. I mean, that horse was working hard. But you know, the other horse was standing there and was resting. And they both worked under the same load. I think this is what Jesus is saying. Yoke with me. If you are heavy laden, if there's burdens on your heart, can a leader that God has entrusted to oversee, can we rest with the load that we're to carry? My burden is that we don't know how to rest. And I want to show you how to rest. See, soul rest comes through something here that Jesus said. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. The only way for us to rest is through meekness. And I want to explain to you some things about meekness tonight. Meekness is a deep, life-changing humility that causes me to not be occupied with myself. It's the capacity to accept injury without resentment. Resentment, and I think I'm safe in saying tonight that every one of us that has been in the ministry for at least a year that is here tonight has at some point had hurts come against you. Things come against you. Meekness is God's ability that He gives to us to not resent those injuries. Resentment. Interesting definition of resentment is the constant replaying of my injury. When we have constant in our minds that thing that brother did, that thing that sister said, that thing keeps coming back. That's resentment. And whenever there's meekness, somehow God gives us the grace as we yoke with Him and we learn from Him. Notice here that we need to learn from Him. And I want to show you some things. When we learn to walk with Him, we're going to learn to act like He acts, to do what He does, to think how He thinks, to walk how He walked. And when we do that, we're going to find rest for our souls. Rest for the souls. The meek heart knows he is helpless and weak as God declares him to be. In himself nothing, but in God everything. You know, I was really challenged with this message as I looked at this word, meekness. One of the most effective leaders, if I may call it that, I know today mention was made that we're not leaders. I understand and I appreciate that.
I think we are overseers, we are pastors, we are called of God to be servants. But as servants of God, we must see who I am. There is something about seeing who I am. Isaiah, when he saw God, he said, "Woe is me." John fell at his feet as dead when he saw him. They're godly men, men of God, that are used by God, have this concept, this clear understanding of who I am. And it comes by being together, yoked with Him. Job, lying in the dust, said, "I abhor myself." But what did God say about Job? "Have you seen this righteous man? Satan, did you look at him? Lucifer, notice him." But you know what Job said? "I abhor myself." There's something about meekness that has an understanding of who I am. Who I am. Moses, the meekest man on earth, the Bible tells us, knew who he was, unable to do without God. In opposition, you know what he did in opposition? I was moved by what I saw. In Numbers 14, verse 5, the congregation said, "Let us make us a captain. Let's get another leader. We need someone else." You know what? He didn't get up and say, "Well, this is my calling. God called me. He called me. Don't you remember? I am here." He didn't defend. He was not confrontational. He didn't defend himself. Moses fell on his face before God. That's where he went. If you face headwinds in the church, where do we go? You know, we start so often in my heart. I start going through this exercise of actually arguing this point. But you know, that's not what Moses did. When we are meek, we don't do that. We go down on our face before God. When 250 men of renown in the congregation got up in Numbers chapter 16, and they said, "Moses, you are too strong. Your leadership is too strong. You take too much on yourself." What did Moses do? "I'm called of God." No, he said. He just fell on his face before God in Numbers 16:4. God said, "Move away. I will take care of them." And you know what Moses did? Moses started pleading with God, "God, don't destroy them." Do you see the meekness of this man? We would like to say, "Okay, let them see what happens when they go down this rebellious road." Moses fell on his face and he said, "God, I plead for them. God, save them." Oh, the heart of a meek leader. See, it's in meekness that we find rest. And brothers, tonight, if we want to find rest in our soul, rest in our leadership, rest in what God has called us, then we must learn what it is to be meek. Miriam and Aaron worked against Moses. They said, "Hath God not also spoken to us? We are also those that can find God, hear God." You know what God did? God let leprosy come over Miriam. You know what Moses did? He didn't go to Miriam and say, "Miriam, see, that's what happens. See, Miriam, I wish you would not have said that." No. Moses fell on his face. The Bible says he cried to God, "Heal her. God, heal her." I see something in the spirit of meekness that, brothers, I must get on my face and cry out to God until God helps me to be yoked with Him. I think sometimes the reason that we have such a poverty among our people is because there's such a great destitution in our own hearts as we lead. Leading becomes a fight. Leading becomes something that is a great struggle. But brothers, I don't think that's God's heart. He wants us to come and yoke with Him. And He wants to teach us something, how to lead. How to lead. How to minister to these people. You know, the soul cannot rest unless it finds meekness. I think the reason we don't find rest is because of meekness. You know, if rest comes by not working, taking off, sleeping in, then we could recover. But soul rest comes by meekness. It's the only pathway that I see in the Bible that we have to find rest for our souls. Learn of me, come, learn of me meekness, for I am meek and lowly, Jesus said. He's lowly. But you know what? We in our heart, oh, may God just break my heart so that I would be more meek and more lowly. One significant thing that must happen before we can rest is that our life, our flesh, our cell must become broken. Long hours is not what causes us stress. But it's when we have to measure up to something. And I would like to help us understand a couple points here. I want to share with you 5 points that prevent soul rest in our lives. Point number one is the fight of loving myself. I remember a bishop brother came to me some years ago, and he told me, if you are in this position, then you cannot think much of yourself. Think of the sorrow and the pain when someone speaks slightingly against us, about us. Think of the effort it takes to shield this touchy honor when someone says something and it causes a bad opinion about me. You know, the labor of self-love is a heavy one, and it's why we can't rest. Think of the exhaustive effort that it takes to keep our rights. Oh, God has taken me through times in my life where I wanted to get up. I remember a time a brother said something that was not true. It wasn't right. And I remember how within me welled up this thing that he has no right to say that. My loving wife, God bless her, she said, if they could hurt Jesus, couldn't we also be hurt? Wouldn't it be okay? You know, Jesus said, he didn't think that it was robbery in Philippians 2:6. He didn't think that it was robbery for him to be reduced to man. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't think that it was robbery for him to be robbed from that glory and to come down. What a meekness that is. Is it okay for us to have a reduced position in the church? Is it okay when those things happen to us? Oh, if I could only yoke with Him more and travel with Him more. And as I yoke with Him and as I walk with Him, you know, brothers, I want to bare my heart. I think the reason that we have so many difficulties among us is because we have not learned to walk in humility and walk in meekness and find lowliness with our God, with our Jesus. And as we learn to be broken men, men that are shattered, men that are reduced, you know, God will reduce until He can use. And God brings us to those points in our life. And if God brings deep pain and deep hurt to you, thank God for it, because God is really trying to reduce us. Because He has a church, He has a body, He has the body of Christ. And often I am in the way, I'm standing there in the way, and God wants to use it. And I am not meek enough. I'm fighting my way. I want my way. I think I am wiser. God wants to reduce me. I think if he could get me out of the way, then God could build His church and God would be glorified. It's my heart. You know, tonight, maybe all I'm doing is just telling you the challenge that God laid on my heart. to learn meekness. You know, we continually carry this burden, loving myself, challenging every spoken word against me. When someone says something that is, you just know that wasn't right. What do we do? Do we challenge that? Do we go after that? Or can we do what Jesus? We're going to look at Jesus tonight. Because I think there's such a pattern of seeing and finding rest for our souls. I know why we're not resting. Because I'm fighting my own battle, my own heart. We cringe at every criticism. We smart when I'm slighted, tossing sleepless. How many nights, brothers, have we lost sleep because of what was said? I'm telling you because I know. I know what it is. And I know that when that happens, I'm not yoked with my Jesus. Because I need to fight this battle. What is going to happen to the church? I don't know your burdens tonight. But maybe you are wondering what will happen to the church. You know, we are plagued with this disease of loving self. Self has no rest. Just a couple of weeks ago, a man came to me and he said, "Brother Paul, can you name 6 men that you can't offend? 6 men that you could say anything to that you want to say and they wouldn't be offended." I looked at my heart and I said, "No, I'm not one of them." And I saw what was wrong with me. I'm not a meek man. God, help me. Oh, that difficulty of loving myself. But in meekness, I lose my life. I forget myself. And you know what happens when I do that? I rest. Some of you, brethren, have gone through deep valleys, deep trials, deep, deep issues. Do you remember how it was when you finally got through and you finally gave up and you gave everything to God? Remember the rest that came over your heart? That's where God wants us. That's where He wants us tonight. Whatever is laboring on our heart, come and I will give you rest. You know, for me, self is my most troubling enemy that prevents my rest. Let me read something to you from a man that is sitting in a nursing home. "I find myself weary of the hollow thoughts of what a few accomplishments I may have mustered in my life." This was a leader. "Pastor, my failures continue to embarrass me. The inadequacies I have carried since my youth still frustrate me. My insecurities still trouble my soul, and the praise of others has an increasingly hollow ring. I am tired of worrying about what people think about me. I'm weary of the carnal feeling that sometimes haunts me when someone talks about his favorite preacher and it's not me. Bottom line, I just get tired of me. But I never get tired of Jesus. After all these years, I still find Him more compelling, more engaging, more awesome, more surprising, more fulfilling, and more attractive than ever before. I never get tired of singing His praises or of watching Him perform. I find Him to be gripping, absorbing, beyond comprehension. I find myself longing to know Him better. I am becoming increasingly aware that life doesn't go on forever. When we're young, we think we are bulletproof. We live like we'll never die. But when your knees protest certain movements and your eyesight and memory begin to grow fuzzy, reality sets in. There will be other preachers who bless hungry hearts. And me, I'll be sitting in the corner of some nursing home waiting for them to ring the lunch bell. And if life up to that point has been all about me, that is going to be a sad and empty day. No matter what they're serving for lunch, because all I will have will be me, which at that point won't be much. But if my life has been about knowing Jesus and experiencing a deepening relationship with Him, as I sit in the corner of the nursing home, waiting for the lunch bell to ring, He'll be there with me. And He'll be more wonderful on that day than ever before. He'll walk with me as I toddle along the linoleum in my walker. He'll talk with me, and I won't have any trouble hearing him when he tells me I'm his own. He'll say, "Ah, well, Joe, you're almost home." And I will say, "Ah, Lord, the sooner the better. I've heard your voice through all these years, but I can't wait to see your face." He and I will be having such a grand time of fellowship, I just might miss the lunch bell. Tired of me. I don't know if we can relate to that. But sometimes we get tired of me. I get tired of me. But I never get tired of Jesus. The second point I want to see that prevents my rest is the burden of pretense. You know, the common human desire is to put the best foot forward and hide the real inward poverty in my heart. Hardly a man or woman dares to be just me without doctoring up the impression. You know, if people won't see the empty heart, the poverty of my soul, the turmoil, the depression, how destitute I am, then maybe I can get through with my leadership, with my servanthood. Maybe I can make it through in the church. But brothers, I want you to be challenged with me tonight that in meekness I lose my pretense. I just become real. It's who I really am. Do our people really see who I am? Do they see, or do I have to brush those burdens away and when I get up to our congregation, I'm smiling and it seems like the joy is rolling, but you know what? If you are in the presence of Spirit-filled believers, it's very dangerous to try to have a pretense. Because those saints will pick up through the Spirit of God in their own spirit, something is wrong with this brother. The burden of pretense, it makes us tired because we have to be sure that no one sees who I really am. Oh, if we could just be true and real. And I'm sure we are. Many of you are. Maybe all of you are. I'm just sharing with you what God has laid on my heart to share here this evening. We can do so many good things for wrong reasons. Think with me, how many actions a man is motivated by self? Maybe I need to go visit. I really should go and visit that brother, that sister, because I think the deacon is going pretty often. And what if all of a sudden, maybe they connect more with the deacon than with me, their elder? God help us. But you know what, brothers? I'm also in the ministry. Those things are real. We're sometimes not real. Sometimes just who I am doesn't really come through. It's who I pretend to be. But you know, that is such a tiring part of our life. Such a tiring part. There are two ways to be. One is to be changed by God until we're meek. The other is to appear changed. You know, these burdens are real. These burdens of pretense are real. It happens. It happens in ministries. It happens in the church. But may we be real. I think maybe if we could be real, and if we are real, maybe the church could be real. Maybe our brothers and sisters could find themselves as they really are before God and find that repentance. You know, Jesus said, "You must become as little children." Little children do not compare. Did you ever notice that? They receive direct enjoyment without relating to something else or someone else. In meekness, we lose our pretense and we find rest. Point number three, the battle to protect the reputation. You know, it's very tiring to be a watchman. Watching my reputation. You know, reputation is the opinion of others about you. Jesus made himself of no reputation. He let the people say what they wanted to say. But there's one thing, brothers, that we need to be careful about is we should not be concerned about a reputation, but we should be concerned about the testimony of God in our life. Because the testimony is how people see God because of my life. Reputation is how people see me. You know, it's so significant to be sure. I remember going through a deep valley in my own life, a deep trial. I remember going through a time some years ago where something happened and there were things said that weren't true. And I remember a dear brother. We were in the same baptismal class, and I met him on the road, and I waved at him, and he wouldn't wave at me. And you know, those things were very, very hurting to me. But I think it was because I was trying to build my reputation. I was so concerned about what people think about me. And I remember during that time, God was really speaking to me one night. And I started hearing this. And then you heard this. Did you hear what they said? Did you hear what this person? You know what I'm talking about? We face it. But how do we deal with it? It keeps us running. Fighting for a good reputation keeps us running. We run here, we run there. And you know, Jesus wants us to walk with Him. He didn't. That was not of interest to Him, what the people said. Jesus didn't offer opinions. He offered truth. And what He said was spoken in truth. And truth is what people were to follow. It was not to try to lift something up or try to defend Himself. Jesus was such an example of meekness. Jesus made Himself of no reputation. Some loved Him, some hated Him. Some spoke against Him, some protected Him. You know, when Jesus preached His first sermon in his own town. When He got up to preach that first sermon, they took stones and cast Him out. What a way to begin a ministry. That was one of His first ways. But you know, Jesus was a meek person. He just went somewhere else and He preached. It makes for a tired person. We have an unrest in our soul when we protect and pursue a reputation. But in meekness, there's rest. Point number four is the race to be or do what others do. We live in a highly charged environment where it's so significant to do what others do. We see this church. We see this leader. We think about this person. We see what this person does on our ministry team. It's so significant to us to try to do what others do. And it keeps us running. And we are tiring ourselves out because we are trying to do and to be what others are. How freeing it would be to not be guided by what others do and just be guided by the Spirit of God and in humility walk with the flock. You know, Jesus was not guided by what others did. He said, I came to do the will of the Father. In meekness, meekness will free us and allow us to rest. The fifth point I want to look at here briefly is the fear of man. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Remember, what you fear controls you. And it's so important for us as men of God that we are not led by the fear of man. The Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. In Proverbs 29:25, there is no rest for a soul that fears man. And so we need to come back to fear God. And what God wanted me to see here is that I must learn to connect with Him in a deeper way. I think the reason that our people aren't deeper with God is because we are not deeper with God. It is very hard to push our people up to a higher level of Christianity, to a deeper walk with the Lord. We have to draw them. We have to be there ourselves. We have to walk that way, be an example of holiness and purity, and where we are meek and lowly before God. Oh, God is looking for meek leaders, meek servants of His, that are able to lead the flock, to show the flock by example. But we must first yoke with Him. I want to show you something now in the rest of my time here that has been so moving to. You know, we watch many people. Some time ago, I looked at Jesus, and I looked at His life, and I looked at how He was, and I noticed something that was so changing in my own heart. I was never so deeply moved, but when I looked at Jesus and I saw how He walked. And brothers, we face issues. We heard about issues today that we face. We face many things. And sometimes we're overwhelmed by those things we face. And we get into our... You know, one of the things that happened in the Garden of Eden that I wonder sometimes... This is a total another message. But I wonder sometimes if we are back in the Garden of Eden and we are now facing the two trees again. See, there were two trees in the garden that God talked about. He said, there's the tree of life and there's another tree in the midst of the garden that you shall not eat. If you eat, you're going to die. That was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I believe one of the things that we are in, we're in an era right now where we are again starting to, we're faced with these two trees. These two trees are looking at us. And we have to choose which one we're going to go for. And you know, the society, the culture around us is in a fast speed heading towards the tree of knowledge. And our whole environment today is focusing on knowledge and information, and we're moving. We have more knowledge than probably there ever was. And you know, what we're doing is we're eating from the tree of knowledge. But you know, God wants us to go back to the tree of life and eat from the tree of life. And as we go back to the tree of life, you know, when these problems come up and these issues come up, we tend to go to the tree of knowledge. What should I do? What can I do? How should I do this? And we start mulling and we're using our intellectual powers to try to figure out what is the best way to handle this. And brothers, I want to say, I think what God wants us to do is get down on our knees again with a meek heart like Moses did and saying, oh God, what do we do? What do I do? Instead of going and eating from the tree of knowledge. I think we need to go back to the tree of life, which is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Go back to Him. And in a deep walk with God, in a deep relationship with God, find our answers at His feet. And that's where we're going to start leading the flock in the right way. And they're going to see the meekness in our heart. We're going to be so shattered because we have a deep walk with the Lord. I was so moved when I saw Jesus and I noticed something. You know, to yoke with Jesus will take every brother in here through a journey that I want to share with you. I believe every one of us is going to go through Gethsemane. And I believe every one of us is going to go through the judgment hall. And we're going to go up that road to Calvary, to the cross. If we are to be yoked with Jesus. You know, when Jesus was in Gethsemane, one thing happened with Jesus there. Jesus was there. Jesus faced something, and Jesus there the heart. You know, Jesus broke. You know, Jesus was broke in Gethsemane. He had a decision on his hands. He could have said, "No, I won't go further," but he didn't. He said, "Thy will be done. I'm going to take this. Thy will be done." And brothers, we all have to go with Jesus as we're yoked with Him outside the garden. He's going to take us into that garden. I wonder how many of you have been inside Gethsemane already. Sometimes we camp there and we never get out. But God wants us to break there. If we look at this Jesus that we're going to yoke with in our leadership, in our work, in our walk to become meek, we find that in Gethsemane, a heart breaks. Our will breaks. My ministry breaks. Did you ever have a broken ministry? Brothers, if your ministry is never broken, yoke with Him. He'll go with you. But our ministry needs to break. We need to give up. We need to give all. And as we do that, power starts flowing through our ministry. The power of God starts flowing. You know, the depth, I believe the depth, or maybe I should say the distance of our ministry is directly related to the depth of our brokenness. And as we break, and as we go through Gethsemane, we're going to find Him out of Gethsemane. And what is not broke in Gethsemane is going to be burned out of every leader's life in the judgment hall. You know, it's one thing to be with Jesus in Gethsemane, but it's another thing when you come to the judgment hall. See, in the judgment hall, that is when I face my friends. That's when I face those that may accuse me, those that are against me, those that don't see the vision, those that are not, they don't understand. I believe we need to go through the judgment hall with Jesus. It's where I learn meekness. It's where I meet those that are against me, those that fight against me, those that speak against me. They don't appreciate me. They want to get rid of me. They accuse me. We're misunderstood. They say you are wrong. We're blamed. Does any of this make sense to you? How do we deal with those things? When we go through the judgment hall, yoke with Jesus. And let's look at what Jesus and how Jesus went through there. I noticed a couple things. You know, I noticed 4 points in the judgment hall that I would like to just very quickly show you how Jesus was. Because we need to learn meekness. If we want soul rest, we must become meek. I want to look at the other side of the yoke. The other side, that was Jesus. Learn of me. One thing I noticed about Jesus when He was in the judgment hall, when things were coming against Him, and many things were against Him, some might have been, did you ever notice the accusation that Jesus faced? You know, the Bible says that there were two false witnesses that accused Him. Did you ever notice that those, what they accused Him of, He actually did say that. But the Bible calls those men false accusers. They were false accusers. But yet, you know, He had said that He will tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Didn't Jesus say that? But notice something. The accusation that they brought was actually, it was true, but they didn't understand it. What made that a false accusation is the lack of understanding. They didn't understand what He was saying. They didn't see what His point was. They didn't get it. But I noticed something. He was silent. When God has done a deep work in the heart of a leader, one thing that happens is his life becomes silent. When meekness has done its work, the man becomes silent. Only when I can be silent in the judgment hall has God conquered me. Jesus said nothing when He was accused. He only spoke when asked about His identity. He never spoke in defense. I want to just quickly tell you in Matthew 26, in verse 62. And the high priest arose and said unto Him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held His peace. 27 verse 12, and when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Verse 13, then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not what, how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word. Silent. Jesus learned what it is to be silent. There are times that we must be silent. Why didn't Jesus speak? He was right. We must learn the power of silence. There are many times when silence has the loudest decibels. But in meekness we learn that. We learn when to be silent. As we yoke with Him, silent, the silent leader when accusations come. The silent leader. There's times that we must be silent. You know, Jesus actually looked dumb. He looked like he had no answers. It looked like he had no authority. He did not appear like a king. He did not appear like the Creator. He did not appear like the Son of God. But see, if it's very important how we appear, then God has to do a deeper work for us to be meek. It wasn't important for Jesus how he appeared. Jesus knew who he was. I want to show you something. I would like to ask you a question and get a response, but I think it's maybe not appropriate for me to do that. But I wonder how many of you have had judgment on your life, where someone judged you or put judgment on you or said this about you or that about you. You know, one of the hardest things I believe that Jesus did in the judgment hall was to be right and to be silent. That's some of the hardest things that we face. But in meekness, we walk with our God. God is with us and God will help us. And the power of God will come forth. I wonder if you know what I'm talking about. But let me give you a verse that has been a principle that I believe is so powerful. If some accusation comes against you, notice the meekness of Jesus. In Acts chapter 8, verse 33, it reiterates Isaiah 53. But in the Greek, it brings it out in a different way. And it speaks about, in verse 32, it says, the place of the Scripture. This was the eunuch that was Philip when he was with the eunuch. And then it speaks about this place in Isaiah 53, and it says, the place of the Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And then in verse 33, it says this. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And brothers, there is a principle that we must not forget. If you have judgment upon you at times, if things come against you, how can we deal with this judgment that's over me? This accusation, these things that come against me. So we have meetings. So we bring a committee in. So we talk about it. We hash it out. Some people think this way. Some think that way. But you know what? In meekness, there's an avenue how to deal with it. And Jesus did this in his humiliation. He just was silent. He didn't defend himself. And the Bible says his judgment was taken away. That which he was blamed for, that which he was accused of. Look at Jesus today. He's in heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. People in the world know about Jesus. Many people don't know about many other men, but they know about him. In his humiliation, his judgment left. Follow that principle if you ever find yourself as a leader. Go back to meekness. Meekness will allow you to just not fight in conflict, but just be silent. Jesus was silent. What a Jesus we have. How could he do that? How could Jesus be so silent when He was so right? Could I just be like Him? When that sister says what she did, when that brother said what she did, when my co-minister, I sense he's against me. I sense something there. There's something not right. And I can't talk. We can't talk together. Can I just learn to be meek? And God will take care of the rest. Is there a place where we give things to God in our ministry? You know, I think there's such a freedom when we don't have to fight. Yes, but I'm the leader. I'm the bishop. I'm the elder. I'm the one that they look to. But you know, Moses was also the one that they looked to. What did he do? He just fell before his God. And then he went back to the people with what God said in humility. As we yoke with Jesus, we notice another thing. Jesus was alone in the judgment hall. Only Peter was there, but he denied him. The friends often don't feel what you feel. Jesus was alone in Gethsemane. Inside the fence, it was Jesus, just Jesus. And brothers, some of the strongest and hardest battles are fought and won alone. We must learn to know what it is to be alone. Be alone. There's a time in the hour of God's deepest work that your friends are not with you. And your friends may not be allowed by God to be with you. It's just you in your battle, in your journey, in your sleepless night, in your deep crying, in your fasting, in your trying to find God and find the meekness of God and yoke with God, you'll find Him alone. It's alone. They cannot be with you. You must be alone. Don't look for your friends during that time. God wants you alone. So many times when we go through deep trials, you know what we do? We get our phone and we start calling my friend, calling my brother, looking for someone. I know Jesus did that too in Gethsemane. But you know what? He suffered alone. And He found His broken will alone. In the judgment hall, He was alone. They didn't stand with Him. Jesus could have called 12 legions of angels, 72,000 angels. If those angels would have crowded into that courtroom, they would have pushed everyone else out. But He knew He must face it alone. Because in meekness, we find our God when we learn that there is nothing else but God. Don't call your friends for support. Call your God. Meet your God. Be silent. Be alone. Let God burn out what is not broken. Another point that we see in Jesus is He had all the rights, but He took no right. He could have done it, but He didn't. He could have said it, but He didn't. He could have pushed those people out of His life. He had all the right. He created the world. He created every person that was there. But He didn't use it. Sometimes we would have the power. Maybe we would have the authority to do things. But go meet your God first. I'm right. But being right doesn't give me the right. You know, when Peter defended his right, he denied his Lord. Just remember that the truth will always stand when you stand with your God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Maybe tonight you are burdened with a situation in your church, maybe in your ministry team, maybe that brother, maybe that sister. You've come here to try to find just some feeding. You need some feeding. Maybe really what we need is just a time with our God. Maybe just a moment to spend with our God, where we just yoke with Him. We give Him all my cares. We give Him all my struggles. We give Him all, give Him that church that I'm overseeing. And give that situation that I have not been able to help. That situation that I cannot understand. And I don't know what to do. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And ye shall find rest for your soul. My desire is that we're all finding rest for our soul tonight. Let's stand and pray. Oh Jesus, we thank you this evening for such an example that you are. You are such a wonderful God. And Lord, we are so human and so we love ourselves. We're so concerned about me. Oh God in heaven, tonight we are tired of ourselves and we wonder God again. Help us, Lord, to go deep with you. Help us, Lord, to find you and to yoke with you and to find meekness tonight in our own hearts. Oh Lord Jesus, I pray that you would refresh us tonight. Refresh us again with the balm of Gilead, the beautiful aroma from heaven. Oh God in heaven, I pray that you would pour in the oil and the wine into our hearts. Bless these dear overseers, servants of God, these pastors, Lord Jesus. Bless us together. Help us, Lord, to be true to you. Help us not to be concerned about me, but to be concerned about you and to yoke with you and to lead the flock that you have entrusted to us with humility and meekness. Taking them deep with God. Taking them into the deep waters. Oh God, help us to launch into the deep. And God, keep us faithful. I pray, Lord, for every discouraged brother here tonight. That has just been so, life has been so difficult for them. I pray that you would just lead us to your feet tonight. And help us, oh God, to somehow find the yoke and to slip in the yoke with you, and would you lead us and would you help us to walk like you walk. Lord, I just bless you tonight for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you give your word to us. And I pray that you would strengthen us, Lord, and help us to find soul rest the rest of our days until you take us home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe we'll just take a moment here tonight, and maybe you would like to just pray. Sometimes, you know, we as leaders and as servants of God just need a moment, need times like this to just come before Him. Maybe you'd like to pray. I'd invite you to come forward, kneel down. Brothers, join them. Let's join each other. God bless you. If you want to pray, would some brother come and pray with that brother? We'll just wait on God for a moment. And then, is there someone else that would like to just pray? Maybe you have a situation you just want to pray about. Would some brothers come and pray with these? Kneel beside them and pray with them. Let's show our support.